So, if you were here for the first sermon that I did, this is a continuation of that same journey about where I left, wondering whether I believed in a sovereign, almighty, all-knowing, and righteous God, or whether I was more comfortable with Aladdin and his lamp, or maybe even myself and my own know-it-all. I wondered if I was a true Christian, or just a wannabe, or maybe just a Sunday-only Christian. So I ask you, as I asked myself, if someone asked you today, how do you know you're a true Christian? What would be your answer? Well, there are many verses in Scripture that talk about what it takes to be a true Christian, and it led me to the commandments. And it led me to the point where I said, I wonder if we can measure our Christianity or our faith by how many commandments we keep. I wondered if it was a gauge. And if we kind of obeyed the majority of them, would we be a true Christian? So I came up with this analogy, and this is an analogy that I want you, it's going to resonate with all of you, because it, unlike the analogies you usually hear from this pulpit, this is based on COVID and traveling, something we all know, not on some game they play on ice or restaurants that you have to go to understand the story. My analogy is, I want you to think about a really big, a really long, and a very expensive vacation that you're planning that is going to be very exciting for you. Kate and I are in the midst of doing such a thing. And in our planning and the prepayment of things like airfare and Airbnbs and everything, we had to find out what the traveling COVID rules were. So we had to find out what we needed to obey in order to get our boarding pass here, and probably more importantly, what we needed to obey to make sure that when we got to our destination, we weren't put into quarantine and turned around and sent home. So I want you to imagine that, and these rules got a little bit daunting when you consider you had to prepay before you did the testing. So I started to fantasize a little bit and wished that I had an invisible secret little friend on my shoulder that could see COVID molecules floating in the air. And that when they got a little too close, Kate and I would get the proverbial elbow in the ribs that would hurt, but it would turn us away from danger. What we wanted was a COVID warrior. Anyway, so that took me, and that's the analogy, which I'll finish later on, but let's go back to the rules, the commandments, because it's good to know how you're being judged. It's good to know the rules you have to follow in order to get your boarding pass. So I looked at the first 10 commandments. Now, I know we couldn't keep the first one in Eden, so I looked at the next set, which was the 10. I'm not going to go through them, but I am going to spend a minute or two on the first four. The first one, there's only one God, one sovereign God, no other gods above him. No Aladdin, no self. Number two, worship no idols. That means nothing occupies your heart more than this one God, not your house or even a big vacation. Number three, don't take the Lord's name in vain. If you believe in a sovereign God, an all-righteous, knowing God that is perfect, that created everything, including you, then his name has to be holy, holy, holy. It has no place in common language. And number four, keep the Sabbath holy. Now, a lot of us, like I was, there's parts of the Bible and the commandments that we can live with that are good, that we agree with. And there's parts that we either argue with, make excuses for, or downright reject. So number four, keep the Sabbath holy, most of us would say, well, that was written for a different time and a different bunch of people. Not written for us in the Bahamas, especially on a Sunday afternoon that's beautiful if we have access to a boat. So keeping the Sabbath holy is a commandment. The truth of the matter is, none of us have been able to keep even the first four of the ten. So that led me somewhere. Did you know that in the Old Testament there are 633 commandments written down? And wait for it. In the New Testament, there are 1,050. So I ask you, do you even know what all these rules are? And as I said, it's good to know the rules before you get denied the passage to your trip of a lifetime. So I have strict orders from our pastor not to go through all 1,050 of these commandments. So I do want to concentrate on a group of 10 that deal with the commandments associated with being a true Christian. And here they are. A true Christian, number one, follows Christ. Well, that seems pretty obvious until you read the scripture and understand what the follow me command really is. It talks about being fishers of men, going and making disciples of the nation, denying yourself and taking up a cross, sell everything, give it to the poor. Or as Brin most powerfully said on Easter Sunday service, and I quote, follow me. He who bids you follow me bids you to follow completely, wholeheartedly, with your whole heart, and without reservation. So I thought this follow me stuff is getting a little deep. So number two, a true Christian loves all. That sounds easy to say, but go to scripture. It talks about not being quarrelsome. It talks about be kind to everyone, enduring evil, correcting conflict with gentleness. Number three, a good Christian has to be good. Well, what does that mean? Well, in Thessalonians, you see, do not repay evil with evil, but always seek to do good to one another, and then the clincher, and to everyone. So number four, a good Christian needs to be righteous. Righteousness is what puts us right with God. Sin and evil puts us wrong with God. So a true Christian pursues a life void of sin. Number five, exhibits godliness. What is that? Well, in Matthew, you therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And number six, a true Christian has to have a true faith. Well, the Westminster Confession of Faith says this: faith in Jesus Christ is a saving grace whereby we receive and rest on Him alone for salvation, as He is offered to us in the gospel. Number seven, a true Christian has to be patient. Now, there's scripture about this, but I think probably I'm right in saying we should all probably bow now and ask for some forgiveness on the patience part. A true Christian is meek. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. It doesn't say blessed are the weak. It says blessed are the meek, the humble. Number nine, a true Christian is to be at peace. That sounds good. We all want peace. But go to scripture. And in scripture, Paul's letter to the Philippians says this: be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And the last one, a true Christian pursues holiness. What does that mean? Well, in Peter's first letter, he says, but he who has called you is holy, so you be holy in your conduct. For it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. and we were made in His image. So when we examine these rules, some may think maybe this trip of a lifetime isn't worth the effort. Or I used to feel that some of these commandments got in my way of life, doing things I wanted to do. So if you believe in any of these, you're not alone. The truth is that we are born estranged from God. We are born moving away from God, goodness, holiness, and the commandments. Some of us want God, but only on our terms. Only to follow the rules that we can follow and the ones that we are happy with. And we have disagreements and even rejection and make excuses for the other rules that we simply can't live with. And that takes me back to remind you about my first sermon. What do you truly believe? Is it a sovereign, all righteous, all-knowing and powerful God? Or do you have the answers and know right from wrong and have figured it all out? Are you your God? And at this point in prep for the service, a little four-line poem that my dad used to say to me a lot growing up came to mind. I don't know who wrote it, but it goes like this. Man, man, he's such a fool. When it's hot, he wants it cool. And when it's cool, he wants it hot. Always wanting what is not. So is it hard to be a true Christian? Well, based on what I've said so far and what you've heard from this pulpit many, many times, following the commandments is really hard. And it may even be impossible. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, said this. He said, there's none righteous, not even one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned and live in sin according to God's law. These commandments is God's law. And when I read that, I had another little epiphany. I realized that these commandments weren't necessarily rules we had to follow. These commandments showed us in detail what sin is. And sin, our thoughts, our words, our deeds, is what distances us from our Father in heaven. Trying to obey these commandments does not result in your salvation. And Paul puts this as clearly as it can be said in his letter to the Ephesians. Chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is a gift from God, not a result of works or deeds, so that no one may boast about how many of the commandments they keep, I guess. Do not fool yourself. Be attentive. Professing your faith is vastly different than possessing that faith. Remember sola fide. By faith alone we are saved, or should I say rescued. It sounds impossible to be a true Christian, but then I found some good news, and we've heard it many times from this pulpit. What is required will be supplied. And that statement is true for everyone called by God. What we need is a helper, a secret friend. Like the COVID warrior, we need a sin warrior. Now the Greek word used in the New Testament for this warrior is parakletos. It's made up of two words. I think I got that right. I brought my Greek with me. Para means beside, like parallel. And kletos means to make the call. So parakletos means come beside and make the right call. This sin warrior acts as our advocate, our helper, and the translation that I love the most, our enabler, the Holy Spirit. This enabler changes the rules from have to do to want to do. When Jesus had told his disciples he was going away, in John 14, 15, he says this. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. What Jesus does not say is if you keep my commandments, I'll love you. We have to love him and to keep his commandments. It ties right in to seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, in his book about preaching, said this: the obedience to these rules is not the result of a direct pressure on your will. It is a result of an enlightened mind and a softened heart. Now, at the beginning of the service, Andrea read from Galatians 5, 16 to 25. I'm not going to read all of it, but I would like to read some again to make a point. Paul is writing to the church in Galatia. This is a church that gathered in God's name, in Christ's name, but lived a life away from holiness. They lived a sinful life, and he was bringing them back on track. And he says this: but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other. And then he goes on with the list of all of the sins and lifestyles that were not pleasing to you. And he ends with this to show what the outward appearance of you having the Holy Spirit is. And he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit, with its nine parts, is the outward sign of the spontaneous work of the Holy Spirit within you. It is the sign of your transformation that is visible to others. It is the light of Christ. It helps you know Jesus Christ. It helps you love him. And it gives you, it enables you to have an uncontrollable desire to imitate Christ. And that is what pursuing Christ-likeness is all about. So do you have that uncontrollable desire to seek joy, peace, patience, etc.? This book, this Bible that God wrote, it's not a rule book. It's a love story. From Galatians to Revelation, we have story after story after story of God's unfailing love for his people. His faithfulness, his steadfastness, his wrath, and his forgiveness. I sin. And when I do, I'm emotionally crippled. But I know I have the Parakletos. I know I have the Holy Spirit, which enables me to continue to practice what I preach until I get it perfect. Handing the check-in agent a list of the travel COVID rules with a little tick beside each one that you did does not get you your boarding pass. You get your boarding pass because you do not have COVID. That's the bottom line. Your boarding pass to salvation, that trip of a lifetime, is not based on the rules you obey. In fact, it is not based on anything that you do. It is based on what the Son of God has already done for you. Your boarding pass to salvation was produced and paid for in full at the cross. Jesus Christ paid it all, and He wants us to take this trip of a lifetime. May the Parakletos of Christ be in each and every one of us. Amen.